comes with a footnote or a forenote that if you're here this week, you need to be here next week.
Sorry.
Because although we're doing a little bit of a talk, we're talking about a bit of Galatians, but this week particularly, it is a dual focus here. We are talking about, number one, protecting yourself from going into slavery. And number two, next week, is about walking in the freedom by the Holy Spirit. And they're really inseparable, but you don't want me to talk for an hour, so I'm going to talk half today and half next week. Okay, now I know I've been talking about this subject for a while for some of you, particularly if you're part of our Bible study, but you really need to hear it, you people. So that's good. So I'm going to pray. Father, I just want to pray for this morning that the words that come out of my mouth will be from your mouth. And Father, that you would give us a hearing which goes beyond the surface levels of our lives, that you would cut deep in and help us to live as people who are free from the slavery of law, free from the chains that the devil attempts to hold us down in with. And Father, that we would be free by your Spirit to live in all of the fullness you have for us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The book of Galatians, which we're going to be looking at, we're starting right at the start in chapter 5, is a book, it's written to those who are Christians. It's written to those in the faith. It's written to us. It's written to a group of people who actually had the fullness of the gospel in Christ. They lived in it, and then some other people came in. Kind of, yeah, mutterers, you know, mutter. People who add that element of doubt to your faith. Yes, you're free, but, you know that but? What does that but look like? Very different for each one of us. And I want to really talk in depth about what that is to us. But I'm starting at chapter 5, and you've got to hear this from the start. This is what this is about. This is freedom. Freedom is what we're talking about today. Next week we're talking about walking with the Spirit, which is that freedom. It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Can you hear that?
Yeah.
Good. Stand firm. In what? In freedom. Then, and do not let yourself be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Okay, don't go back to how it was. Don't be burdened by that yoke. It's for freedom that Christ has set you free. Mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourself be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to you, every man who lets himself be circumcised that is required to obey the whole law. Okay. Firstly, I'll get to the circumcision bit in a minute because we're not going to do that this morning, just in case you're worried. We don't believe that anymore, but it is actually really relevant to us. But firstly, it is for freedom that Christ has set you free. What I want you to hear this is, be free from any thought that there is anything that will stop God from fully accepting you. Free from all those buts. Can you hear that? You are free from that thought through Jesus Christ. Free. Yeah? Is there that thought that you may be not quite good enough? You are free. Okay, we'll talk about that more in a minute. Again, I'd say it. Number one, your sins are forgiven. Number two, you have received the righteousness of Christ. Okay, he's taken your sins, he's given you his righteousness, and number three, he's given you his Holy Spirit as a seal and a promise and a guarantee that that will never change. The devil says this, you'll be forgiven, providing you keep going with your good behaviour and a few other conditions. The devil says, you'll be righteous when you're done, well, earn it, because you earn righteousness. You don't just get it, you've got to do it yourself. And number three, the devil tells you, you can never be sure. You can't be too sure, people. Can you? Can you hear that? Your sins are forgiven. You have the righteousness of Christ. The Spirit, you have the seal of the Spirit, who's the promise that this will never change. Right, remember that. There was one law that these people came to the group of Galatians with and said, yes, 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 you are saved through Christ alone. That's absolutely true. But of course you need to be circumcised. Okay? Jesus plus circumcision. Okay. You need Jesus. Now we don't believe that. Okay? We don't have that. But Jesus plus something is very deep in our hearts. You need something that we think, it's very personal because it's different to each one of us. Is there something? I know God accepts me, but if this happens to me, or if I can do this, God will accept me just a bit better. In fact, he'll love me more. Do you know that feeling? Sometimes it's a religious thing, okay? Do you know that if you have the perfect church structure, God's there a whole lot more and he loves you more? That's not true. But you can be fooled into thinking it sometimes. How you were baptized makes a huge difference to how God loves you. What age? Yeah? How much water was used? Were you fully submerged? What if you missed a bit? Just your nose stayed out of the water or something. Are you fully baptized? Now that, I say that flippantly, except for some people really think. They feel second rate. I haven't been through this religious thing. Sue talked about it this morning really well. I'm a woman. I'm second rate before God. My words, my prayers don't have as much oomph. Do you know that? I haven't felt that. How we do communion. Do you speak in tongues? That's a big one. Because to be a Christian, you've got to speak in tongues. True, don't you? There's one thing. Can you see? If you add something to Jesus, the Holy Spirit baptism in a certain way, which has to have a certain sort of experience. I'll talk about that more next week too. Christ plus something. Then that something is the circumcision. And he's saying, I tell you, don't do it. Because when you pick that up, your whole life is going to be... If one thing works into a whole lot of other things. One law that you add to Jesus, you might as well obey all the laws. And can anyone obey all the laws? No, they can't. Can you hear that? In other words, what I'm saying is, if you have this thought that's constantly there... In our church gathering, in your home life, in your prayer life, God, be careful. God might not approve. Now, I'm not talking about sin here. Don't get me wrong. Sin is still sin. And Paul says that a bit later on. And we'll also talk about that next week. But what I'm talking about is those things, those little laws that hold us back. God might not approve. Now, if you add that to that, our self-law, we have a whole lot of self-laws. That's the laws we put on ourselves, which say, just ask yourself this question. What makes me not feel good enough? What is that one thing that makes me not feel good enough? Okay? What makes me feel like a failure? Now, behind that is a law. What you could say. So let's say I feel inferior because I don't have enough hair. So what's the law behind that? To be a full person, you need a full head of hair. Thanks for laughing, but that is it's subtle. Okay, how much weight I'm carrying, right? Why? Because God obviously accepts skinny people. Because being thin is you understand what I'm saying? I am inadequate in a certain area. So the law is, obviously, a Christian has a certain BMI. Right? True? Because this will affect us. Now, Jody helped me considerably once. She spoke at a summer camp down in South Australia, and I didn't understand what she was saying at the time. Because what she said is, she said, when you put on too much weight as a woman, you don't feel good about yourself, and you go, yeah, I get that, I understand that sort of. And then she said, you don't feel holy before God. And I thought, well, I don't get that. That's stupid. Right? But then what I realised is this. When you put a law onto yourself about how you should be, you will naturally say God thinks the same thing. You will naturally lift your law and you'll put it on God. I'm not praying enough. God expects a lot more of me. Do you understand? I put your own thing here. Whatever it is that makes you feel inadequate, behind it is a law, and you will put that onto God. Or you'll thank God, because I'm sorry to use the weight one, but I'm just using it because I had to use some example. Could you ever say, God doesn't accept me because of my weight? That, you know, that's not true. But if you start with yourself, you'll throw it up onto him. And then you will always feel inadequate. God doesn't accept me fully for some particular reason. So what the devil does in this is he uses some sort of law which enters your mind or is in your mind. Now, this is going on all the time for us in 100 different ways, right? And what he will do is he will just introduce an element of doubt, just a little doubt, followed by fear, yeah? Followed by shame, followed by condemnation. But it starts with this little doubt. Does Jesus really accept me? Does God really accept me already? Mostly, yeah. When I've noticed this, you ever psychoanalyze yourself? Sometimes when I'm not doing so well, right, and say, Craig says, how you going? I'll say, oh, I'm getting there. You don't say not bad, you say I'm getting there. I'm not quite there yet, but I will be. Now, what he should say is, what's that law you've put on your life, which is like circumcision to you, Derek, that is causing you to feel like you're not there yet? Because everything you have is in Christ. That's what you've got to say next time, Craig. Right? Everything you have in Christ is already there. Can you get that? Right? You are not getting there, you are there. Can you hear that? Can you believe that? Is there an inkling of doubt in God's mind when he looks at you? He goes, Caroline, some things, I will fully accept you when this and this happens. Is that there in God's mind? If anybody is in Christ, they are a new creation. So if they're a new creation, those things are not there. Can you hear that? They're not there. Zilch. There is no law you can add. There is no thing that you need that is going to make God accept you more. This is for all those who have trusted in Christ. If we could ever believe that. Because what we're doing when we have that little side law, which is Christ plus, is we're bringing something into the essential nature of salvation, which is just not supposed to be there. Hope you've heard this. This is really important. We're doing this all the time. You, this is verse 4, who are trying to be justified by the law, so you're trying to make yourself righteous by the law, have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. In your attempt to do those things that makes God love you more, you're actually alienating yourself from Christ, because what you're saying is, you're not enough, Jesus. I need you, plus I need what I can do to add to make us both up, to get me to the fullness. You've fallen away from grace. What's grace? God's unconditional gift to us, his free gift. He gives it to us. Do you want to fall away from that? Then what are you going to end up with? All sorts of insecurities. Yeah. But by faith, we eagerly await through the Spirit the righteousness for which we hope. So we live by faith. What's that faith in? In what Christ has done. What has Christ done? Everything. Okay? Not Christ plus. Okay. For in Christ, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself in love. Now, what is saying, it doesn't matter. You see, what you can say is then, you see, you get the people who say, you must be baptized in this way. And he's saying, well, that doesn't count. Okay. Now you get the other people who go, it doesn't matter how you're baptized. Well, he said, well, that doesn't count either. It's a bit like this. My example is right. You get the climate change activists, right? And we all go, whatever. Yep. And we go, we don't want to be like that. But I tell you what, then you get the climate change ones who say, to be a Christian, you've got to deny the climate change activists. And then we go, we deny, blah, blah, blah. Well, you don't have to be that either. You don't have to be either of those. You don't have to be for the law or against the law. You just be in Christ. Because when it comes to the climate, we go, it doesn't. We don't have to deny the climate's changing, and we don't have to say that we're causing the. We just know that Jesus is in control. That's the thing we know. And one day he's going to make it all perfect again too. But in the meantime, he sends rain. Can you hear what I'm saying? We don't have to be deniers, and we don't have to be activists. We can just be in Christ. So we don't have to be against anything or for anything. It doesn't matter whether you're circumcised or uncircumcised. Neither of them count. Because they're both a law in their own way and they'll both drive us crazy in their heads. We'll have to blog all the time with our opinions. Look behind every blog and you'll see a law. Can you see that? Which I have to defend. Because when I defend that blog, I'm defending who I am on top of what I need in Christ. Gee, if we get hold of this, it'd be just a little bit exciting. This would actually be life-changing if we could drop this stuff. Yeah. Yep. You were running a good race. Who cut in on you and kept you from obeying the truth? That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. So you had your eyes fixed on Jesus and you were running towards him and you were excited about Jesus. And like you're running that race and someone has cut in on you, right? And they're running in front of you and they're slowing down. And they're slowing you down and as you go to go around, they push over, yeah? And they hit you with their legs, they get a bit tangled with you. And pretty soon you're not looking at the finish line anymore, are you? You're not thinking about it. All you're thinking about is that one who's cut in on you. But what he says is, this sort of persuasion, so it comes with a whole lot of, you understand, sneaky words, trickery. It sounds good, it sounds right. Does not come from God. Right. Can you hear that? If you have doubts and fears and accusations and what was the other word I used? Anyway, all that stuff, that does not come from God. You hearing that? If you have inadequacies, that hasn't come from God. God's not putting them on you. He says through Christ, you're adequate. You have everything. Can you hear that? Do you doubt that you're good enough, that you have everything? That hasn't come from God. Hear that? Really? Levi, can you hear that? Good. Don't let anyone cut in on you. Later on, he says, I wish they'd go on and emasculate themselves completely, those people. He says, in other words, do not accept the person who comes at you with a law that makes you feel inferior. Don't accept them. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, because when your eyes are fixed on him, you see everything clearly in what he's done. A little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. the yeast of the Pharisees that Jesus spoke about. He said, you know, you put a little bit of yeast and it makes your whole dough rise. He's saying, you do want, just get hooked on one law which is going to make you more acceptable to yourself and to God, then all of a sudden it'll be in everything. And it'll take over your life. And you won't be running anymore. In chapter 1, verse 10, he'd said this of these people. He said, I'm not preaching these laws, I'm preaching Christ. He said, am I trying to win the approval of men or of God? In other words, what happens is, through all of this, is we get fixated, law causes us to be fixated on what people are thinking of us, or what we're thinking of us. We're more worried about the approval of men than the approval of God. It's a very destructive place to be. But can you see that if you know that God delights in you, that will change everything in the way you think? Can you see that? Right. Because you don't say to your kids, I delight in you and I hope you'll, you know, improve a bit here and there. Well, you can't be sure that people say that, what they say to the kids, but God doesn't say it to us. I can tell you that. Okay. He says that the one who's thrown you into confusion will pay the penalty. They will be judged by God. Brothers, if I'm still preaching circumcision, why am I being persecuted? In that case, the offence of the cross has been abolished. You see, you're actually making, by adding something need to be saved, you're actually making the cross out to be nothing. He's saying what Jesus did for you is nothing. It's worthless. Because it needs something added to it to make it complete. So, I did that bit already. I want to tell you this. There is a discipline in freedom. And that is to make sure you continually expose everything that's come at you that is of a law that makes you second rate before God. Expose it, number one. There's a discipline in doing that. Number two is there's a discipline in remembering grace. Okay? Remember grace. It's come to you freely through Jesus Christ. That's why he started with, for freedom Christ has set you free, stand firm. There's a battle to maintain this. Expose it, remember grace, and live by the Spirit. Right, I really want you to hear this today because I tell you, we're a new church, and one of the things we do as a new church is, what sort of laws are we going to have? I hope it's just Christ, him crucified, raised from the dead, in the power of the Spirit. You understand? Plus, you need to do this a certain sort of way. And you understand what I'm saying? That's the real religion, isn't there? If we can be set free from that, and then walk by the Spirit in freedom. What a great life we're going to have. Individuals, families, children, church, society. Awesome. Freedom. Father, I want to give you thanks for Jesus. And this promise of freedom, and we want to confess we don't live in the freedom you've given us all the time, but thank you that it's there. And I pray that in each one of us gathered this morning that you would expose to us those things which are tearing us down, expose those things which are hindering us, which are entangling us, which are stopping, tripping us from following and fixing our eyes on Jesus. And Father, I pray that you expose those views that are persuading us to live in slavery. And Father, I pray that you would remind us of grace again and fill us with your Spirit. Father, I pray that this would not be a message for a Sunday morning, but would be for every hour of our day. That as the week goes on, you'd expose again those things which are tearing us down, that we might live in all of the fullness that you have for us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.